Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you that it's not by might, not by power, but it's by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you for the word of truth. Our hearts are open and receptive. We give you praise. We give you honor. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for the inspiration of your word, Lord, to touch and affect and permeate every heart and every mind. Lord, that we would come into agreement with your word. We would activate that word in our living, Lord, that we would be examples, in samples, as the word of God says, to men, Lord. Lord, as we walk circumspectly, Lord, as we carry the word of truth, Lord, as we're vessels of honor meet for the master's use, we give you praise, Lord. We give you honor. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, for the inspiration on your word tonight that will impart into us everything we have need. We pull on it right now in the Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit power from your word, Lord. You watch over your word to perform it, and the Bible says the Spirit and the word, they do agree in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. I'm so glad Pastor instituted that fast. As we spoke of, we're carrying over just a briefly tonight. I want to hit a little bit on fasting, and we'll move right into evangelism. But it's so important. Good evening. Look at that precious family. Those are my friends. Beautiful, most beautiful girls on the face of the planet. Secondarily to my daughter, but amen. But I do want to go to Isaiah real quick, Isaiah chapter 58. Why is prayer and fasting so important? Whatever you do for the kingdom must be bathed in prayer and fasting. It is the preface to everything that we do. Jesus often went away and prayed. He separated himself. He withstood and refrained himself from even food at times. But there was a reason, because he was denying himself. He was receiving of the Father. And I thought fasting, the most important thing I can say about it, it is a denial of the internal so that you can reach the external. If you want to touch and impact your world for Christ, there has to be that refusing, that denial. As Pastor Brad said, it's the stopping of the mouth. It's the putting over your mouth. There's many things that you can fast. Whatever the Lord tells you to fast, but primarily it is food, because your flesh is sustained by food. We live in a very, let's just put it bluntly, a gluttonous society. We love food. It's on our televisions. It's so covered everywhere we go. We've got buffets on every corner with a wide variety of food. But when you stop your mouth, when you say, Lord, I'm going to refrain, and your flesh goes, hey, I need a Taco Bell taco. I need a Big Mac. I need a Whopper. There's something that happens, because it's the neat thing I like is that you are lined up. Your physical senses are what? Taste, touch, smell, hearing, all these senses. There's five senses, right? You also have senses in your spirit. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We can look with our eyes. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. We have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, right? The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What does fasting do for us? It causes us to desire bread from heaven. It causes us to desire a drink from the fountain that will never run dry. What does that do for us? It's not about us. It's about the lost and the dying. It's about reaching a world for Christ. When you step out of yourself and you deny yourself natural things, then manna begins to flow into your life. You begin to get filled with the goodness of God. And then you can walk out, as Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the book of Isaiah here, let's just go real quickly through this. Cry aloud, chapter 58. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Israel their sin. Yet they seek me. Listen to what it's saying here. Because they thought they had it down pat. They said, we got this fasting thing figured out. But it says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my name as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Seems like I got it all together. They're doing it right. We're fasting. We're praying. We're reaching out to heaven. But God is giving us clear instructions here. He said, here's how you're fasting. Wherefore have we fasted? They say, thou seest not. Lord, you're not taking notice of me. I've been denying myself. I've been fasting for weeks, and you ain't doing nothing on my behalf. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, listen to what it says, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. The Bible says when you fast, don't go around looking like sad sack and like you've been through the mill twice under. Put wash your face. Look like you just like normal. Don't walk around, Minister Marr, it's been a hard week. I've been fasting for the Lord. Barely can keep my head up. You know, no, get a bounce in your step. Don't even let people know. That's not something, that's between you and the Lord. And someone asked you many times, people offer me food when I'm at work. I always take the first 3 days of the month. Now it's going to be a week because Pastor covered the last four. But we're going to fast for a week at the end of this month. But I don't go around talking to people about it. I just go about my business. And thank God there's something that happens. There's breakthroughs. And this is what the Word of God says in Isaiah here. And that's what I wanted to get to, because what is it for? It's preparation in what you're about to step into. You can't win souls. You can't evangelize. You can't move to the Middletown Commons except for you have prayer and fasting that bathes it and surround it. Any major move that you make in your life, anything you're desiring, you say, man, I need to hear from the Lord. Hey, if you never, and here's the excuse you hear all the time. I just can't fast, brother. I just can't fast. That's the very reason you need to fast. I don't care if it's a 24-hour fast. Doctors will make you fast. You go to do a procedure, what do they tell? You got to stop eating. And lo and behold, everybody who could never fast are instant fasters. Doctor said, well, let me tell you, Dr. Jesus said, you got to fast. Amen? If you want to see breakthroughs, but Jesus told his disciples very plainly, this kind cometh forth, but not by prayer and fasting. It's something that unlocks the heavens. It's something that brings you into agreement with the things of God and will open up what we desire. Amen? Amen. Let's read on here real quick. So he said, you exact all your labors. In other words, you're not even working because you're so tired. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Listen to what his fast produces. To loose the bands of wickedness. Hallelujah. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. That you break every yoke. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor which are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from thine own flesh. Listen, hallelujah, I love this part, because this is what I want to continually walk in. Then shall thy light break forth. Say, King's light is going to break forth. Hallelujah. As the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. See, everybody in King's Fairmont is going to be healthy. Amen. Amen. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory, hallelujah, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. That means he backs you up. When you declare it, the glory of the Lord follows right after you. You don't have to worry. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. That's what prayer and fasting produces. That's the fast that he has chosen, that he would be glorified. I don't get no glory from it. Hallelujah. I just say, Lord, I need to get this vessel under so that it can be used for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shall thou call. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. Oh, hallelujah. Imagine just you get down on your knees and saying, Lord, Lord, I need you. I need you now, Lord. I believe you for this. And all of a sudden you hear a voice from heaven. Son, I'm here. Daughter, I'm here. Everything you have need of, you've got it. You got my attention. Hallelujah. Imagine that when God's attentive to your voice. That's when you know you hooked up. You got connected to the master. You've got connected to a, it's like the old folks used to call telephone to glory. Oh, what joy divine. Hallelujah. Whew, I feel the anointing on that one. Glory. Telephone to glory. Pick it up. I'm thanking God for the glory of God. Hallelujah. He said, if thou take away from thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul, and here's the part, because this is the very reason we're doing this, to the hungry. How many know people that are lost and don't know the Lord are hungry? They're hungry. They're spiritually dying right now. They're leading a bread from heaven. They've had everything the world had to offer, but they're spiritually depleted, dead, hanging on. Praise God. But thank God we can deal our bread. Hallelujah to the hungry. Satisfy the afflicted the soul. And then, listen to what it says. Shall your light rise in obscurity? And your darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord, I love this part, Pastor Brad, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Every step you take all along the way, because we fasted, because we prayed, the Lord continually leads and guides us into all truth. Every step. We don't take one step forward and two steps back. We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from victory to victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairers of the breach, the restorers of paths to dwell in. Very simply put, read that chapter, that whole chapter of Isaiah, and that's the reason we fast. We fast because we're not giving attention to ourselves, but we are calling on the Lord. We are separating. We're sanctifying. Most importantly, Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. The longer you feed your flesh and the more you feed your flesh, let me just give you a heads up. You can't satisfy it. Your flesh is not going to go, oh, wait a minute, that's too much, too much. It's going to keep saying more, more, give me more. And meanwhile, your spirit man is sitting there weak and emaciated going, can I have just a morsel of bread? I heard Brother Tip post online. He said, before you eat breakfast in the morning, feed yourself on the Word of God. What a powerful, just a simple truth there. Feast on the bread. He said, give us this day our daily bread. I believe he'll give you the natural bread too, but thank God for the spiritual bread that we can feed on. Amen? So make that a habit. As we talked about prayer, same way with fasting. Not just at these times. Thank God for the delegated times. But also make time to fast as the Lord leads you. If you're believing God for a breakthrough in your family, a breakthrough in a job, just something you've been praying about for a long time, seem to not have an answer, sanctify yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to take the next 3 days and fast before the Lord concerning this. And stand on the word in Isaiah that it's going to, the yoke is going to be broken. God's going to open up. I'm going to get an answer in Jesus' mighty name because I'm obeying his word fully. Okay, let's move over in evangelism. Dear and very near to my heart, I love it. My heart is of evangelism. I love the fact that we can go out. I'm for the underdog. I'm for those that are lost. And I remembered where he brought me from, Brother Stephen. I was lost and undone. I'd be in hell right now. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'd be lost and in hell right now had it not been for the grace and the mercy of God. And somebody told me about Jesus. Say this to your neighbor. Say, everybody is somebody to Jesus. Don't ever forget that. We used to sing it as a little child. We'd sing, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I was way off key, but hey, the point is, we learn it as a young child. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen? All peoples. God said he's willing that none should perish. If that's God's heart, then every time you see a soul, and the Lord stirs this up, and I believe as Pastor Brad, the end is winding down. We're coming to the very end of time. And God is stirring in the hearts of his people. No longer do you just see people walking aimlessly about. But I look and I go, that's an eternal soul. They're going to live eternally either in heaven or hell. Lord, if they come across my pathway, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I don't want to be so embarrassed. Or, well, what if they deny me? What if I get offended? What if I get hurt? What if I get rejected? What if someone, I'll tell you a story real quick. I just heard this, and I think I maybe reposted it, but a man was in his home, this is years ago, and he was suddenly woken up in the middle of the night, and the Holy Spirit said, go down to the station and preach the gospel. And he thought, man, I ain't going, there ain't nobody down there. It can't be the Lord. There's absolutely nobody down there at this hour of night. So he rolled over and went back to sleep. A second time, he was awoken out of his sleep. Same result. Lord, I don't believe that's you. Devil, quit trying to rob me of my rest. The third time, he obeyed. He went down and got down there, and boy, he preached his heart out. Preached the best salvation message you could give. Did the whole entire altar call. Not a soul was present. He walked home feeling like I just totally missed the Lord and robbed myself of some good sleep. Years later, he would go on to find out that a man by the name of Billy Sunday said, I don't know where the voice was coming from, but I was near a train station, and I heard the gospel preached for the very first time, and I knelt right there on that street and gave my heart to the Lord. Billy Sunday was here in Fairmont, West Virginia, and he impacted this community and turned it upside down years ago. There's still a building right here in Fairmont, West Virginia. He was a professional baseball player, and he impacted hundreds of thousands of people for Christ. Obey the Lord. Obey. It's so important. And if you missed it, repent and say, Lord, give me another opportunity. I've done it. I missed the Lord. I was too busy. I was too distracted. Evangelism is the heartbeat of God. It's souls. That's why we're here. None of us. How many heard the gospel? We said it this morning, Pastor Miranda, 85% of people were brought to church by a friend, someone community. And I thought the testimony is so important. I don't have your testimony, Brother Stephen. I could try to tell it like you were, but it's like what guy said when the Jehovah Witness showed up to his door. He said, are you a witness? He said, I didn't even see the accident. But I wasn't there when you were converted. I don't know your story, Sister Jamie, but somebody needs to hear it. Somebody needs to hear about the saving power of Jesus Christ that has transformed your life, where only you can give the eyewitness account. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. My life has been dramatic. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how down in the depths of despair. I may have been suicidal. I may have been hooked on drugs where I didn't even know my own name. I may have been drinking like the bottle and I couldn't get filled up. But thanks be to God, I've got a testimony. I can share that with the world. And men and women will be set free. Because if God says, well, I didn't realize you were so screwed up. If he'll save you, surely he'll save me. Hallelujah. That's what evangelism is about. Let's go to the Word of God. Go to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. What is the gospel? Good news. Hallelujah. We turn on the news and we hear all kinds of mess. And most of it ain't good. Excuse my vernacular, isn't good. Most of it's just gloom and despair and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. But the gospel is good news. Hallelujah. You don't have to be poor any longer. You don't have to be broken and in despair. The woman at the well that Pastor referred to, she was there and she said, come, see a man that told me all that I ever do. Hallelujah. That's the power of the gospel. Why would we withhold that from anyone? Your neighbors need the Lord. You want to see your neighborhoods turned around? Share the gospel. Share it with your loved ones. Share it with your family. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who are lost. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, whole reason he came. The Bible says, for this cause the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But that was the mission. Jesus said he didn't go to the 99, he went to the one that was lost. For this cause, the Bible says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's it right there in the nutshell. Everywhere we go, every nook and every cranny, we ought to be turning over rocks. We ought to beat down doors. We ought to be running through the neighborhoods looking for the lost. And don't look at anybody like they're hopeless. That's one of the biggest misnomers. I think many times people say, that's a hard case right there. Is there anything too hard for God? God can take a little child and take a man who's just mean and miserable, lost in his sin, and that the heart of that child can turn that man to Christ. It's your testimony. I'm telling you. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Well, what's that about? That's not just about you. Surely you can overcome that way, but how about the lives and the lives of other people? How about seeing breakthroughs in the lives of people that are lost? That's how we impact and have influence. The gospel is good news. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, he that winneth souls is wise. See this, I want to preface this. The Bible doesn't say that, and we'll go over Brother back here in the back, or sister, whoever's back here, Mark chapter 28, verse 18, we'll go into that. The gospel and the commission that God gets, commission is different. You know, people many times will say it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And it was. If Jesus had stayed on the earth, what would he have done? Well, guess what? You and I, who are Christians in the house, just raise your hand. Say, I'm a Christian. See, almost every hand in the house went up. I'm a Christian. What is a Christian? It means one who is Christ-like. And we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. I've said this before. If I go to Ukraine, I'm not the president of the United States, but I can be his ambassador. And when I say, listen, Mr. Zelensky, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're not going to do. And he looks at me and says, who are you? I need to speak to the Donald. And I say, I am a Donald, but I want to talk to the big Donald. Well, you're talking to him because I am representing him. What I say is what he says. What I do is what he tells me to do. I have full authority. I have full permission. That's what you've been called to do as a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. They'll raise the dead, Brother John. Glory to God. How about God pull you into a funeral home, Brother Cameron, and you walk right in there and say, I don't know why the Lord told me to do this, but I'm going to lay over and lay hands on that person in the casket. They get up and you beat out a dodge real quick. Because there's going to be a mass exodus out of that funeral home. But that's what he's called us to do. Oh, really? Yeah, I believe my Savior was walking on the beach one day. And here come a funeral procession. And they were bewailing. This was just a little young child, right? And the mama and the mourners, all the professional mourners. And Jesus said, hey, y'all, hold up a minute. hold up a minute. The Father's spoken to me. And the Bible says he just reached up into the bier, or the container that had the body, and he laid hands on him and says, get up. That closed down the funeral procession that day. What is that? That's evangelism. You raise the dead, you got a captive audience. Hallelujah. That's power. People don't care about, you know, about religion. They want to see the power of God demonstrated. That has to be in everything that we do. That's why prayer and fasting is so important. That the power of God rests upon us. That there's demonstration. Word of wisdom. Well, Brother Don, how am I going to convert somebody that doesn't know the Lord? Brother Stephen, I'll use his testimony. He was talking to me. He was over at Guardian, and there was one man in that facility there. I guess he was a little difficult. And Brother Stephen was praying, Lord, you got to help me on this one. But he went. He felt compelled to go to that man's room. And he began to pray as he was there and try to, all of a sudden, the Lord gave him an idea about the man's name. And he just said, did you know your name is in the Bible? Of course, the man knew, because he knew why he was named. His mama had a little bit of godly heritage there. And it opened up the door through a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. And all of a sudden, before he left the room, that man gave his life to the Lord. Isn't that powerful? See, here's the thing I want to tell you about evangelism. It's not about you. Nobody's ever given their heart to the Lord because Don Jersey's good looking. It's probably the very opposite. They maybe felt sorry for me. I said, Lord, help. I got to help this guy. He's struggling. But the gospel is good news, and it's the power of God in us that's released to those around us. That power that's demonstrated is what changes. And the Bible says, not of us, lest any man should boast. But we can thank God. We can say, Lord, thank you that you used me to tell that person about you. Thank you that you gave me the right words. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me that word of wisdom or that word of knowledge. Thank you that the gift of faith was upon me. I mean, that gift of faith will come upon you. I've seen it here. One lady came, I remember several months ago, she came in here. As soon as she walked in, I said, she's getting saved today. Didn't know nothing about her. And I couldn't even contain it. I hadn't even preached yet. But I knew the word of God had already agreed, and she answered the altar call. I knew it. It was like I'd have been shocked at that point because the gift of faith was operating. I knew that she was coming to the Lord that day. That's what you can know when you knock on. And that doesn't mean you'll be rejected. Many times the Bible says you'll be persecuted for the gospel. You'll have people say, get off of my. Brother Stephen had a guy cussing him. Act like he owned the whole street. He's sitting on the sidewalk. I'm using Brother Stephen. Brother Stephen gets out there. If you want to get around, I encourage you, Brother Sisters Lisa Muscufo, Brother John, get around these guys. They have a boldness. They've got a tenacity about it because they don't want to see people go to hell. John says, Lord, give me ideas. I'll bake a cake. I'll give them some tomatoes out of my garden. I'll go over and change their flat tire. Hey, those are all opportunities. We've got to be opportunistic in these final days. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, you may not even understand why he's doing that. The Lord might say, hey, Minister Lee Howe, make a good batch of chocolate chip cookies and take it. That neighbor that keeps you up all night, their dogs are barking and yapping half the night. But what you don't is grandma used to make them chocolate chip cookies. And all of a sudden you prayed over them cookies and they say, man, I know I'm kind of an annoying neighbor, but boy, what love that man shared with me. What grace and mercy he extended to me. And all of a sudden, what is it that's different about you? What is it? The Bible says that you are ready, instant in season, out of season, to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. The hope. If we ever live in a time where people, I just read of a precious young girl, 18 years old, manic depressive, cat lady. And she was worried about her cat being frustrated over her being a manic depression. And she took her own life because her cat couldn't deal with her disease. I hate to even call that. That's a devil. That's a devil that'll take the life of. And we've got them dying here. I remember last year we had four or five deaths, and not a one of them had reached the age of 30. If that don't cause us to weep at night, we've lost something. If that doesn't cause our hearts to be stirred and say, no more, devil. No more. You're not taking another life with meth. You're not taking another life of ODing. Many of you could raise your hands. And you got friends that are taken out before their time. If we don't stand in the gap, the Lord said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. And Isaiah said, lo, Lord, here am I. Send me. Will you be that one? That's what we're talking about tonight. And Pastor Brad's going to share with you about the Go Team. And these, we got some great evangelistic tools that we're coming up with. But it's about, you can go where I can't go. If I try to come into your ladies' club, I'll probably get kicked out. If I'm over there with Brother Ryan and he's lifting 300 pounds and I'm on there lifting my 5-pound dumbbell, it may not be as impressive as him, but he can talk to people. He knows some folks. Every one of you, raise your hand if you know somebody that needs the Lord. Raise your hand up. If you know somebody that needs the Lord, every hand should be up. Every hand should be up. True? If it's not, then we got to get on our knees. As Pastor Brad said this morning when we handed out there, Pastor Miranda, when we handed out those things, what person came to your heart? You even testified. You said somebody the Lord brought to your mind. You were just, it was like as plain as a nose on your face, and you just missed it. And the Lord said, what about them? Duh, yeah, Lord, I got you. My neighbor came to my heart, and I've been feeding him every time I grill on my grill. I take him over a hot dog. I take him. I feed my neighbors. They know when something's cooking. Guys are working on a house I was supposed to buy. They bought it out from under me, so I take them over some hot dogs and take them over some burgers. I feed my neighbors, but I also tell them the truth. I also try to walk circumspectly. I pray for them when they need prayer. I agree with them for God. Because I want them to know. And you don't know what impact you make. That's what I was going to share with you. That very person that might have almost spit in your face and said, get your religious junk, your Jesus garbage out of my face. I don't need it. Might be the very one that the Lord says, remember that young man that came to your door? Remember that precious lady that came to your door that lovingly told you how much I care about you? And he'll bring it back. It's a seed sowed. Paul said what? He said, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's the wonderful thing about evangelism. Pastor Brad, I think you probably wore out, I don't know how many pairs of sneakers throughout you and your family when you got here. It was us four and no more, but those four and no more were beating their feet all over this whole town, this whole city, from house to house. You got people that were, what are you doing here? And people didn't know what you were about. But he was sowing. The Bible says, every place that the soles of your foot touch, I've given it to you and the heathen for an inheritance. There's a promised harvest. That's why, I mean, it's great. I have no doubt seeing this place filled and the Middletown Commons just jam-packed because there's a harvest. There's a people that said, they won't last. They'll be there a couple weeks, a couple months, but we're still here. COVID came and we're still here. Hallelujah. We're still here and we're expanding. We're growing. We're increasing. We're seeking to double. Hallelujah. Because God said, I'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can think or ask. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. That's who we are. We're a mighty army. It's time to, if you were enlisted or activated one time, get off of the reserves. Get out of the house. Strap up your military boots. Get on your best equipment and get out there and take back the territory that the devil said he had. See, that's what Pastor even said. I heard a guy talking about it. Actually, Dr. Morocco was sharing about it today. He said that whatever the land was there, they've had for 20 years waiting to develop. He said the devil don't like to give. And I thought, it just hit me because I thought, you know what? Every place that we set up a strong, just like he has a stronghold, we set up an encampment. We declare this is holy ground. This is angel ground. This is blood-bought, redeemed territory. Hallelujah. That's why he told the children of Israel. It was gory, but he said, don't go in. He said, kill them all. Why? Because it represents what we do in the spirit. We drive out. We don't let alcoholism. You can't stay in West Virginia. Drug abuse. You can't stay in West Virginia. Oppression and depression, anxiety, worry, fear. You can't stay in West Virginia any longer. Glory be to God. We declare West Virginia from the north to the south, from the east to the west, is bought with the precious blood of Jesus. There's been too many prayers. There's been too much fasting. There's been too much investment in this place for a single soul to depart this earth and go to hell. Hallelujah. But the Bible says one day we'll stand before the Lord, and the Bible says their blood will pass through our hands. I hate it for every time I've ever missed it when I didn't obey the Lord, because that scripture haunts me. Because I think, God, please give me another chance. I don't want to stand before you and be the mouthpiece that was to give them and deliver the gospel. When Thomas was in the land of India, there was a family there, and they believed in the sun god. And what would happen was, when those people would take that, they would dip down and they would grab a hold of the water in their hand and they'd throw it up in the air while the sun, and it would glisten, and they'd all fall down and worship that. Now, there's people that'll worship a Coke bottle. But Thomas had an idea, and he told him, he said, now, when you throw that up and you worship your God, he said, that water falls right back into the pool. He said, but what if my God could cause that water to suspend, to stay up in, oh, no, 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 that's impossible. He said, no, my God can. And he prayed, and as they threw the water up in the air, the water stayed suspended. And he led that entire, there was a family there. He led that entire family to the Lord. But here's the tragic part. They say, why is India filled with millions of gods today? Knowing that wonderful event, we're talking about Thomas. Remember all doubting Thomas? Unless I put my hand in your side, see the palms. Say, why didn't that whole nation get turned upside down? Because they kept it for themselves. The gospel, freely you have received, freely what? Give. Give. Many times, and even in the Church of America, we all fall victim to it. Lord, my name is Jimmy. What can you please give me? I said it before, we have a can mentality. Get what you can what you get, and set on the can. But no, Brother Ryan, everything that we receive on a weekly basis ought to be poured out. Man, you wouldn't believe what I heard in church today. I got to share with you. Man, I heard some good news. Man, they prayed for a lady, and she was instantly healed. People had neck pain, and people had, I mean, you got to come, man. I know you've been battling your body. Come and see what the mighty power of God is doing. I mean, do we believe it or not? Or even there, I'll tell you one even better. I'm just going to do it right now. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. You got something wrong with you, brother? Let me pray for you. I see you got to, I stopped. I was at Stonewall Jackson. Me and my wife were down. The Lord just reminded me of that. And I didn't know the man, but I mean, Pastor Brad, he was just all, you know, when your back's hurting. And just a big old tall black man, precious brother. And I walked up to him, introduced myself, and I said, man, I said, see, you got your back. Oh, yeah. I said, and I had been battling it in my own body, which was funny. And I thought, Lord, I need a little touch myself. But here he is. He's going in there. And I said, brother, would you mind if I prayed for you? He kind of looked at me a little cross-eyed. I said, I believe God will touch you right now. So we laid hands on him right there and prayed for him. Come to find out he's in a band. You know the next thing he said? Hey, brother, next week we got Black Heritage Month in Clarksburg, West Virginia, and my band's paying. Would you come up there and visit with us while we're up there? I don't know if you guys know. I mean, I'm white. Well, look there. The walls of separation come down. He didn't go, hey, white boy, you might want to go to the Italian Heritage Festival. He said, come to the Black Heritage. I said, all right, brother. All right. Praise God. See what it does? It opens up doors. That's what evangelism is about. If you don't go, how will they hear? Let's go to that gospel real quick. I don't want to go past here. Mark chapter 28. What is the commission? And why is it our job? Go ahead. We got that, brother? Mark chapter 28, verse 18. Then, we'll go there. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them. Oh, hallelujah. Now, it's important to remember. Say, last things are important. Whatever Jesus said last before he left, make that. I mean, everything he said was important. But if you're getting ready to go and you ain't coming back, what is the last thing I want to leave with you? It's very important. He said, all power, heaven and earth is given unto me. Amen? Go ye therefore. Who's a ye? Say, I'm a ye. Look at your neighbor. Say, hey, ye. Go ye. You're a ye. That's right, Minister Lee Howe. Yee-haw. And a chee-hoo to follow. Hallelujah. And teach all nations. That means bodies of people. All nations. Red and yellow, black and white. Oh, hallelujah. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, here's the best part. I don't have to do it on my own. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That means, hey, say Jesus works with me. Say he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Remember we talking about that? The Paraclete. Hey, you know what? You may have not felt the touch of God in a while. Let me tell you what happens, guys, when you get on the street. When you start witnessing, heaven comes down. You don't have to wonder, I wonder if the Holy Spirit's here. You feel his presence. You feel his power. You feel the witness of the Spirit. You know your help. I love it when I get to witness to people and all of a sudden my help shows up because I'm not doing it on my own. Lo, I'm with you always. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. Amen? Let's go over to the other verse here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Why is it our job? It's that preacher's job. They went to Bible school. They studied. They're the ones. They know the Greek and the Hebrew, and they know all them. That's not my job. I'm a pew sitter. I'm just a Christian. I'm just supposed to, right? You're selfish if you are. But here's the part. Why is it so important? Why is it my job? Go ahead, brother. Over to, again, Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, I may have not told you that, I apologize. Verse 13, for whosoever, say I'm a whosoever, my neighbor who's a heathen's a whosoever, the lady at the bank is a whosoever, the lady at the aisle that can't count my change right is a whosoever, the guy at the gas station is a whosoever, the guy that pulled over in my lane and flipped me off the other day, he's a whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's powerful right there. I just don't one day just go, hey, there must be a God. I mean, it just like fell on me like a coconut, like it bopped me in the head. All of a sudden, I'm aware that. It doesn't work that way. Right here it tells us. How shall they believe in him who they have what? Not heard. Can you believe in the day that we live in with so much social media, so much, literally things go across the airwaves, worldwide and around and around, circumventing the entire globe, and there are yet people that have never heard the gospel. There are people that don't know what the Holy Ghost is. There are people now that don't know what sin is. Because they've not heard. They've heard it's okay to live with your lover. Just try the waters. You know, you just got to live for a few years together. And then if it works out, then hey, if not, just move on. You can live with, you can love who you want to love. You know, you just be you. Make it about you, right? Selfish, sensual, full of lust. perverted, wickedness. Those things are rampant. Why? Because they've not heard. Because the Bible says you'll hear the truth. You'll know the truth, and that truth will set you free. How can they hear, or how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without Pastor Brad going? Pastor Miranda, it's her job. See right there, Pastor. It's not our job. You got to stop this, all this discipleship and trying to get people on the go team and prayer and fast. I mean, it's your job, a preacher. Everybody say hallelujah. Say it a little louder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, well, you ain't got no gumption in you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm saved. You redeemed my life from destruction. I hereby, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, appoint you all as preachers of the gospel. You didn't even have to go to Bible school. If you've been saved, if you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, and you've got a word, if you've got a mouth that can say, ah, then you can tell about his goodness. You can share the good news. I don't care if you get Moses messed up and got Moses on the ark and Noah split in the Red Sea. Believe God to be able to communicate the testimony that's in your heart. Because only you. You might be the only Jesus. They don't know Pastor Brad. They don't know Pastor Miranda. But Justin, they see you on the campuses. And you can say, Lord, I'll cry aloud. I'll spare not. I'll declare your glory to this generation. I won't be ashamed, Lord. I'm not ashamed of you now, and I won't be ashamed of you when I stand before you then. Because I'll say, Lord, with great convictions, I told them what you told me to tell them. That's all. Simply obey. Simple obedience. Next scripture. How shall they preach? Here's the great part. Except they be sent. Well, you know, Pastor would ask me, I'd go out on that go team. He didn't come and ask me. He didn't even call me. I mean, I know they have that sign-up sheet and they got them meetings and stuff, but I need an invitation. How shall they preach except they be sent? The sent ones, that's what the apostles were. They were sent ones. But guess what? That's the commission. That's what this church. There's not any. Did anybody see any mold or mildew on any of the seats? It ain't going to be on there because you ain't going to be sitting there that long. We don't even let you sit long much during the service. But there's a going. Go. Go. That's why we call it the go team, right? Go team. Go and make disciples of all men. Go ye. That's what we. That's why we named it that. Except they be sent out. Oh, this is a wonderful part. Look at your feet. I don't care if you got a corn on it, you got messed up, you ain't had a pedicure in, is it pedicure? It is pedicure. Ain't had a pedicure in months. How beautiful, Brother Lee Howe. How beautiful are your feet, brother. Hallelujah. Beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, you're just something. You know what's wonderful, Pastor? I believe this. I believe when you speak the word of God, even if you're just walking down the neighborhood and just declaring the truth of God's word, when you're confessing and saying, you can walk down, you don't even have to go door to door. You can just walk on the streets. How beautiful, how wonderful and glorious and marvelous you are, Lord. This street in Fairmont, West Virginia belongs to you. Hallelujah. I confess every drug dealer's moving out. Every harlot is moving out. Everybody that's wicked is going to be converted. I pray conviction over this neighborhood. Hallelujah. God, it's a God takeover. This is your, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he's given it to the children of men. That's what God's called us to do in evangelism. Take back. What did he say in the garden? Have dominion or take dominion. That's not, you know, Lot had a different theory. Lot went down there and said, I'm just going to get comfortable. I'm going to just be an undercover brother. Just got down there and Lot said, I love the Lord, but I ain't going to be too brash about it. Don't want to offend anybody. And the Bible says he was vexed daily with the sin that was around them. You say, what do I do about that? I don't care if you got heathens on both sides of your house. Let your light shine. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Everywhere Jesus went, he didn't go, that's a hard place. That's a hard place. I can't go there. There's a lot of sinners. No, he sat down right in the midst of them, made the Pharisees so stinking mad. Look at him. He eats with publicans and harlots and sinners. Let a harlot get down and wash his feet and pour out that precious oil and anoint him. That's who Jesus was messing with. We got to get a little dirty to get people saved. We got to go into the highways, into the byways. We got to get under the bridges. We got to get down with people who are down and out and rescue them. You get a little dirty when you run into a fire to pull somebody out who's burning. You don't worry about, I'm going to get my suit messed up. I mean, get my shirt. I don't want to mess up my hair. I mean, shoot, it's hot today. Why in the world? Pastor didn't even look at the, it was 80% humidity, and you called a street evangelism day? Sweat for Jesus. Get on there and forget about yourself. Well, you know, I got things to do. I'm pretty busy. Yeah, there's souls that'll die. I can show you a clock, and I did this one time. Remember the Go Team meeting where we talked about how many people were dying every second? Every second leaving this planet, it would astound you. It's thousands that are leaving this planet every second. How many of those are lost? The church has got to be empowered. The church has got to get there. It's no longer time. Take the dress shoes off, get you some Hokas, get you some comfortable shoes, and get your feet on the floor and get moving. Because the Bible says, how will they hear? Except we go. Say, my neighbor's not going to get saved unless I do, unless I tell them. I don't know your neighbor. I don't know. Maybe it's your family member. Can you imagine just busting through the door? I'm here to get your mama saved. Who are you? Show up at her house. I've done that before and kind of scared people. I'm a little bit bigger, but somewhat intimidating. But, you know, it's the wisdom of God. And that's what's wonderful. And I want to encourage you that way. The last thing I'll say, and then I'll leave it to the pastors. I don't want you to feel driven. We don't drive people. The Bible says we're led by the Spirit of God. He leads and guides us, right? That's the wonderful part. If you'll stay in a place where you're sensitive to your voice. And I like results, brother. I love results. I don't like getting rejected. I don't do well with it. None of us do. But man, when you're led by the Spirit of God, oh, there's no greater joy. There is no greater joy than leading a person to Christ. I can't tell you. I've seen miracles. And that is the greatest miracle. I've seen legs grow out. I've seen blind eyes open. And that's powerful. But there is something just incredible that you could be used. That I could be used, that my words could permeate the heart of that individual, that God could anoint my words and tell them exactly what they needed to hear right at the right moment. And that person says, I want what you got, brother. I don't want to live this way any longer. I'm tired of sin. You ever been around people? Sin just has beat the heck out of them. And their life has been filled with misery. There are people that want hope. There are people that the Bible says that those that sat in darkness have seen a great light. He's called us to draw people out of obscurity. You are the light. You're the salt. That's what the church is. We're the preservation part. And because of you and I's obedience to the gospel and the Great Commission. And I just want to pray that for you, even tonight. Do you have to be running out every day all over your neighborhood like a chicken with your head? I got to get them saved. I got to get them saved. Jesus didn't operate that way. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. But if there's opportunity and someone says, calls you up, Miss Brenda, let's go over your neighborhood. I want to pray for your neighbor who's been battling cancer. And she knows him. She knows him well. And we're going to do that sometime. See, this stuff don't come by accident. But it's the Spirit of God. One will put 1,000, but two will put 10,000. And that's why the Bible says he sent them out by two. Guess what? We don't just go, all right, Jamie, you're going down there on Virginia Avenue all by yourself. No, you got somebody with you. You got a partner. Jesus sent them out two by two, 70 he sent out. So you got someone there to be in agreement with you. Somebody, and you can touch and agree for your neighbors. If you got lost loved ones, get people to begin to pray in this house. Believe God that God will give you a wisdom and a breakthrough to that. And you know what? That's how the house is going to be filled. They reproduce after their own kind. What are Christians supposed to reproduce? Other Christians. Make disciples of all men. Brother John said it tonight. He said, what? He came in and said, Brother John, I'm going to need both them rows right there. Isn't that awesome? And then what happens? The whole place is filled. You go, I got the front row. I got seven coming in. Wouldn't that be awesome? Just in 1 week, come back with seven people that we won to the Lord. And then they're in a great house where they can get fed and spiritually nourished and grow in the things of God. And what you don't know, there's others in the house. There's leaders and teachers. And as the Bible says, apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, and evangelists for the equipping of the saints. For what? Here's the part about it. Not only do we win souls, but then we make those souls disciples. And guess what? Now instead of us four no more, we got eight. And then we multiply again. What do we got? Three up. Three on the list there, right? That we're believing for. But you start with the one. Pastor Brad, who are you bringing? Who are you bringing? If I double, and then that guy gets the same spirit and says, who am I bringing? Then one becomes three. Then three becomes six. Then six becomes 12. 12 becomes 24. 24 becomes 48. 48 becomes 96. 96 becomes 192. Look at that. 200 people in just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 multiplications. Be fruitful and multiply. Go ahead, pastors.
Yeah. You know, when Jesus sent out, when Jesus stepped away from, and I love it, and you'll see in John 15, 16, 17, it wasn't that he was stepping away, but he was educating his disciples. And he told them, and he told them to tarry, to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you guys, listen, it's that's the promise that we have. That's the power. You know, I sit here even as Brother Don's sharing tonight and just thinking about the testimonies that we have had from the streets, from back in Hawaii when we started hitting the streets to over the last few years. And, you know, I remember we jumped in the van one afternoon. And I'll never forget it. I went up and I went by the football field and I made a right and the Holy Spirit said, turn around and go the other direction. And I turned the van around. I'm not the best to be driving, you know. I just turned the van around right in the middle of the road. And everybody's like, where are you going, Pat? The Holy Spirit said to go, I got to go back this way. And I'll never forget my stomach. I was messed up that morning. I didn't feel well. But I said, hey, we're calling a meeting. We're going on the streets. And so, and that's what we did. And I was like, guys, I gotta leave for a few minutes, right? I gotta leave. I'll be back. I just had to go get myself together. And I come back, and there's the team going down Virginia, going down and ministering and inviting people. And that day, I mean, God began to just he began to open up opportunities and do things. And that's what happens. That's, you know, Angela, you know, Miranda ministered to her about 6 years, right? 5.5 years ago. I mean, you know, when we tell you we covered every neighborhood, we covered every neighborhood. And we've hit and we've been back around. And I tell you guys, that's one aspect of what the Go Team is. I took a phone call this week. I mean, you guys want to... when the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. Brother Don covered that. But when you're a church that wins souls and you're a church that focuses on fellowship, you're going to grow. You go, and I mean, I'm like, you know, and I knew a lot of this has been about positioning, getting this church in a location where growth can happen supernaturally and happen very quickly. And I believe that's going to happen. But the fellowship and the element of being wise and winning souls, that's you know, that's where we've got to now position ourselves as a church. There, and I, you know, we're going to have, and we've, you know, we've prayed over the Holy Spirit, people to receive that. And but it's activation time. It's activation time, and I felt you know, I was at a home and I was praying about this, and I was like, Lord, you know, we're going to hit the streets. We do that, and you know, even we've got a young evangelist that's coming to town, and you know, the Holy Spirit told him. He said, I want you to go to Kings and talk to them. I would like for you to partner with that church, and you know, anybody that comes in, I'm going to give away a motor. Who wouldn't want a motorcycle, a Harley Davidson? He was like, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to come to Fairmont and give this motorcycle away, and I'm supposed to work with your church. Okay, yeah, I'm believing for souls. You're believing for souls. Hey, amen. And so we're going to do that March 22nd. But next week, one of the things we're going to do, we're going to hit the streets. We're going to take flyers. We're going to flyer the community on this, on that side of town and on this side of town, and believe the Lord will just pour out his Spirit. But what I'm meaning tonight is it is activation time. It's time for, you know, you say, how can I get involved? How can I be involved? I took a phone call this week, Friday night. It was 7 o'clock. I get a call from a director. It's your boss, or it's the athletic person. And she told me to tell you, she's like, you make sure you tell Renea that I called you. And I was just, I'm, you know, Renea's a good girl. You should give her a promotion. I was already putting a good word in for you, so just so you might wonder. And she was like, you know, she told us me about your church. And she's like, we've got a 200-member facility. And I prayed this way in COVID. Lord, these facilities are going to open up to us because people need to hear the gospel. And we have seen people get saved in every one of these facilities, give their heart to the Lord, and go home to be with the Lord. And she was like, you know, we've got churches that kind of come in and do this, but we don't have anybody that comes in and does a service. Oh, you're talking to the right church. You're talking to the right church. You're talking to the right people that's the ministry and reconciliation. We're all preachers. We're all ones called to go and minister the gospel, lay hands on the sick, see them recover. Amen. See God move, and that's what we're going to see happen. Amen. This week Tuesday we have a Go Team meeting. I'm not begging people. I'm not going to beg people to desire to go out and do things, or you know. But what I want to do is I even today, I don't, there's a sheet over there, I wrote down, and I was like, you know, because there are times that, you know, we've went on the streets and we've had a prayer call before. We've got our Go Team. Before we go, let's call a prayer meeting, and we pray. Father, you know what it looks like when we go out? We're not doing 45 minutes of evangelism training before we hit the streets. We pray, and we go to the streets. Father, thank you for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the power of God falling everywhere we go, that people would be saved today. That's why we pray. That's how we go. We go that way. And what happens a lot of times? Those things happen. Do you get rejected? Do you get rejected?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, yeah. So that's a thing. So it's a thing. So we move on. You know, if somebody has a sign at their door, no soliciting, we don't stand out and say, you're going to go. You know, you need to get things right with the Lord. You know, we don't do that. We respect our neighborhood. We respect people. But like was even taught tonight, we want to make sure people hear the gospel. Are those things over there? Yeah, thank you. I just, you know, people think, yeah, just make sure everybody gets one. You guys think, why is Pastor sending out all this stuff? Why all the visuals? Because visuals are a good thing. But you know what I did was I put Go Team signups. I would like to be involved. Maybe you've never been on the streets before. Maybe you would like to go. Maybe you could just come and watch. We don't just throw people into things. We teach and we train people. That's what we do. So maybe you have a desire to do street evangelism. Brother Don looked at me the other day. He's like, man, he said, you know, that's something I love doing. You know, and we have things that we do, set things that we do when we go out and we do things. You know, maybe you say, hey, I would like to be a part of the prayer team, be on the go team for prayer. You know, when we go out on the streets, we evangelize. We go as a facility. Things that we're going to get better at. We're going to call a prayer meeting when we're on our way to Unity on a Friday night. Hey, guys, we're going to pray corporately. We're going to come together in agreement tonight. Maybe you want to be a part of that prayer team and be on that call to pray. You know, maybe you want to, maybe you say, hey, you know, this thing about going into facilities, I mean, you know, I was thinking about it this morning, and I was praying. I was like, you know, we went and even talked to a regional jail, or not a regional jail. That's a whole other deal that would open up. But, you know, a prison, a federal prison. There are opportunities to go. And the Lord very specifically said, go where people are at. Make sure people have the opportunity to get saved. And I'm praying for our schools that kids would receive fire and they would go into the schools where people are at. Maybe you say, hey, you know, maybe it's bus ministry. Maybe I'd like to be a part of bus ministry. We're training people. We'll need another van. Can I get an amen? We'll need another van. Amen. We'll need people that help on the bus. We'll need people. You know, maybe you say, hey, I want to, our bus, praise God. Praise God, I don't know. We've got angels that fill that van up, you know, and I'll call, hey, guys, you need gas for the van? No, it's taken care of. Does it need, I got money on me tonight. Does it need filled? Halfway. I'm going to top it off tonight, praise God. Let me top that thing off tonight. So, but it just magically gets filled. But maybe you say, you know what, I want to put money in the van, gas money. I want to help that way. You can help finance evangelism. Guys, these are things that we can do as a church. You know, you might say transformation. I want to be a part of transformation. We're getting ready to grow transformation ministry. Evangelism will be a big piece of that. These are components that this is the outreach of the church. And, you know, listen, I believe wholeheartedly that everybody in some form or fashion can play a role. You may say, I'm not somebody that's going to go to the streets. Can you pray with us? Can you pray with us? Can you be with us in prayer as we go out? I'm going to pray. I'm going to release my faith with your faith, and we're going to see God do miracles. We're going to see God do miracles. I think last year we won 250 or so. I don't know, 300. I don't know what the soul count was last year. You remember? Guys, it's time. I mean, right now we're running 11. Stephen, get your numbers on there. Guys, you guys are the one souls. Put it on there. That encourages the team. That encourages the church. Praise God. Somebody got one to the Lord. Let's rejoice together. Yeah, I clap my hands and I praise God every time somebody puts a soul on the board. It's not to look at us. It's we rejoice and we celebrate. Look at that, you know, like that guy getting saved. Man, these are the things that encourage and build. We do that. We cover one another. Amen. So, amen. Amen. I wrote down, you know, you don't have to get, you know. The reason why I'm giving you this is because, you know, one of the things that we have an issue with in America is that word commitment. You know, we give letters to people. You're invited. It's we're making it personal. This is personal to me. This has been personal to me since ever since that I was in HANA. And God wrecked me in a way that I was like, I when I first started, even in the ministry and in preaching, I was like, I was nervous. There was the nervousness that would come over me on praying with people. And it made me uncomfortable. I'm being honest. I'm being very honest. I was uncomfortable. And then it was just like Jesus got a hold of me. I'm telling you, he really got a hold of me. I had led people to the Lord previously when I first got saved. But when I went into ministry, I thought, man, I got to do this thing the right way. You know, so the souls are in the back. You know, like I got nervous about it. And now I'm not nervous about it. Because I know the Bible says that if anybody calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So I'm asking you, pray about this. You know, but please, when we do these things like the cards that we give out, if you're not going to do anything with them, please just give them back so I can pass them out to people that will. I'm not being mean. I'm not being cheap or tight either. But like this, you know, if you're like, I don't want to do that, that's fine. I'm not upset. But, you know, what I want you to do is just you pray, or maybe tonight you're like, hey, man, I want to do this. Maybe you're already doing these things. And, you know, I'd like to be a part of this. Sign it. You know, just put it in the offering. I'll put the bucket up here. You can put it in here tonight. But, you know, if you feel, hey, I want to do this. This Tuesday we're going to meet. And we're in planning phase, right? I'm telling you, like, this last meeting we had, we're, like, in planning phase right now. And then, like, other facilities, two other facilities have popped up just recently. So, you know, that's the thing. It's activation time. And we're going after people. Amen. You know why? God loves people. He loves people. Pastor Brandon, you have anything you want to add to that?
You know, the Bible says to pray for the laborers to be sent out, for the field is ripe. It's ripe and ready for harvest. It's white for the harvest. And, you know, that's the thing. It's not that there's a lack of souls that need to be saved. It's the lack of manpower. You know, when we have facilities open up, but if we don't have anybody to send in because our manpower is maxed out and they're already going into certain facilities on a regular basis, it's like the manpower is needed. So, you know, the sky's the limit when it comes to ministry. And the thing is, it all comes down to our committed willingness. Our committed willingness to do something on a regular basis. I mean, you know, and that's for every ministry in this house. You know, those that are serving, they serve on a regular basis. You know, it's not just a once in a while when I feel like it thing. You know, it's a regular. You see the same greeters at the door every week. You know, you see the same children's ministry workers every week. You see the same media team every week. Why? Because they've committed to something. And that's the thing. It's no different with the harvest. They've committed. And so we've got people that are committing to facilities and going in. Praise God. I am so thankful. The one thing I wanted to encourage you in individually, even as we handed out cards this morning, you know, I was telling Pastor Brad last evening, I said, you know what? I know because many of you know my mom. And she's been up here before, but right now, over the past couple of years, she's been taking care of her parents because they're elderly, and so she's pretty much been there full time. But, you know, she still will make a point to go find people that need Jesus, even though she is, like, right now, for the past couple years, living out in the sticks, out in the middle of nowhere, on a 150-acre farm.
There's boonies, but then there's real boonies. Like, backside of Ritchie County, that's boonies. Hazel Green, I don't know anything about it. It's boonies.
Yeah, and you know what she does? You know what she's done for years now? Like, now she's going to my grandma's church and takes her to church, which is a country. You ever hear those rotation pastors that come in, you know, every other week? They still have that. That's where she lives. So even though that she takes my grandma to church, she makes flyers. When she lived whenever she was in her home church, she made flyers because the church didn't have flyers to hand out. So she had them done. I helped her make them. You know, we put the pastor's face on there, put a thing on there about the church, the service times. And she goes out and she goes and hands those things out. And she gets people saved. The Lord lays certain people on her heart and she'll go knock on their door and visit them. And she'll pray with them. She's an evangelist. It may not be mass evangelism under the tent out in an open field, but she has gotten so many people saved because she cares and she just goes. And whoever the Lord lays on her heart, or if she feels to stop somewhere and invite someone, she does it. And she's been doing it for years. And so it doesn't matter where you're at. You can be an evangelist. It's not a matter of, well, you know, that's just street evangelism or street crusades or tent evangelism. No, there's one-on-one. And whoever, it's what I preached this morning, the one-on-one, who are you around? Who's in your sphere of influence, and who has God laid on your heart?
Amen. You know, we know this, and we, you guys, there's a lot of research that goes into the things that we do, and a lot of time. And you know, it's not that when you go do street ministry that you have a lot of retention. We know that, but it's training. Most people miss this. You know, everything that we do is gearing people up that desire, that want to pursue maybe full-time ministry. It's training. You know, why do we, you know, even ushering or security or why we do those things is because everything is training for the next thing. You know, it's training. It's training for the ministry. Brother Stephen, I share with that with him. It's like what we do is training. You know, everything's training. The personal one-on-one talks, it's training. That's what we're doing. We're training. And that, man, I'm thankful. You guys, you know, and this is not a negative thing. This is a good house that really has a focus on souls. And I just feel like it. You know, let's elevate this now. I knew we were going to preach on this tonight, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit told me over the weekend, okay, let's have activation. You know, that's what this is about. You know, you pray about it, it's activation. You know, we meet on Tuesday night, and I'll send that out as a reminder. If you're not on the Go team, you say, Pastor, I want to be on the Go team. Maybe that's the prayer team or whatever. We'll add you to that. Make sure that you're on that. And I'm horrible. I just tell people we have prayer, then I never tell people how to get on prayer. I mean,
so close the deal.
Yeah, close the deal.
Close the deal. What
Praise
time?
God. What?
Go
for,
team.
Oh,
what time? 7.
7 o'clock. 6:30. 6:30. I changed the time, right? 6:30. Everybody's in agreement, right? Jamie, 6:30 is good, right? Okay. So
6:30 on 6:30 Tuesday. And fill out this form and hand it back in tonight.
And if you
tonight.
Yeah, tonight. So Pastor Miranda, close the deal. I'm like, you know, pray about it. She's like, close the deal. You know. So but guys, I this is the greatest joy. There's no greater joy, and Brother Don covered it well tonight. There's no greater joy than seeing someone come to Christ. There's no greater joy. There's no greater joy. I love church, and I love the people of God. There's no greater joy. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's close it up tonight. Amen. Amen. Can I have an offering bucket up here?
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.